start off the hour with some headlines. The Cowboys have agreed with terms to veteran free agent cornerback Daryl Worley. He announced that on Wednesday on Instagram. So a lot of corners in that room. We all know that the Cowboys lost Byron Jones to Miami in free agency, but they've packed that corner room with several players. So we'll see how that shakes out moving forward for the Cowboys, and particularly for Daryl as he goes into that situation. Next up on your headlines, Roger Goodell not taking a salary during the pandemic. In response to the COVID-19 pandemic, Roger Goodell last month voluntarily requested to the league's compensation committee that his salary be reduced to zero, which was accepted and went into effect weeks ago, according to an email sent by Pittsburgh Steelers owner Art Rooney II that was obtained by ESPN. So we know at this point, Roger Goodell working for free. Is he becoming a good guy? Like, in front of our very eyes, are we suddenly seeing the turn of Roger Goodell where he becomes the person everybody's rooting for? He was awkward but lovable in the draft. Now he's working for free? I mean, come on, new chapter of Roger. Lastly, on your headlines, the NCAA has their top governing body said Wednesday it supports a proposal to allow college athletes to sign endorsement contracts and receive payment for other work provided that the schools they attend are not involved in any of the payments. That's a big part of this. So this is not paying them to play. The schools can't be involved. In fact, it would allow promotions and third-party endorsements, but as part of it, they would not be able to use the team's logos or brands as part of their contracts. So while they could identify the schools they go to and they can identify their sport, they cannot use the school logo or branding in any of their advertisements. This is just a proposal that is anticipated to go through their bodies and then will be voted on presumably no later than January. Those are the headlines you need to know. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Oh, I'm hungry right now because I can't stop thinking about the satisfying crunch of Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. They can keep your family going, which means more outside fun for you. And with whole grain oats and real delicious honey, it's really tasty too. Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Bars. Go check them out. Make sure you get some. Get me one while you're at it. In the meantime, we're taking your take on everything today. If it's a first take topic, we want your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Everybody knows I was talking to a couple of different radio stations across the country. I'm becoming known at this point as the Browns guy. I'm all in on the Browns being better than we anticipate. Maybe I'm not seeing something. Maybe I've lost my mind. Maybe it's too much a counterculture. Last year I wasn't super high on them. This year I am. But it leads to an interesting conversation about the AFC North particularly. I want your take on the North. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Who's the favorite in the AFC North? Tell me what your thoughts are on it. In the meantime, Dominique Foxworth joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about who the biggest threat to the Ravens are in the AFC North.
When I look at the Browns, I'm going to have to go with them. I think they're the biggest threat right now, at least on paper. Let's give credit where credit is due. We don't expect Baker Mayfield to regress. You have a new head coach in Kevin Stefanski, who clearly is an upgrade from Mr. Kitchens himself. At least that's the perception. If you've got Jarvis Landry with Odell Beckham Jr., Njoku is your tight end, only played four games last year due to injury. Now he's going to be back. You acquired Austin Hooper from Atlanta as a free agent. I mean, you look at it from that perspective, I'm looking at them with their two tight ends. I'm thinking about Nick Chubb. If it wasn't for Derrick Henry in Tennessee, we would have been talking about Nick Chubb even more, who rushed for 1,494 yards, if I remember correctly, and was averaging 5 yards a carry himself. He was an absolute stud. Then we don't even bring into account Kareem Hunt was gone for the first 8 games last year due to his suspension. Now he's expected to be back. So I look at all of those things. Their running game, their tight end, the offensive line was buffered. Baker Mayfield is expected to upgrade. Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. still can't be slept on. And I look at Cleveland right now, and I think the year that they had last year, it would be one thing. Remember, I didn't believe in them at all last year because I thought it was too much hype. Now that they've gotten knocked back down to earth, I do believe that they could be a legitimate threat right now. I'm hopeful about the Steelers, particularly with acquiring Eric Ebron to join Vance McDonald and those boys at the tight end spot. But I still got my questions about it because of Ben Roethlisberger's elbow. I got to wait and see. I believe in Cleveland right now.
Yeah, you laid out a good case for the Browns right there, Stephen A. And if you look at last season, the Browns won kind of signature victory when we thought maybe the Browns would turn it around was when they went into Baltimore and blew the Ravens out. But I still have so many questions about what Baker Mayfield is going to be. And there are obviously questions about what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be. So I go what I know I can rely on, and that's defense. And that Steelers defense may be the best in the league this year. That front did a fantastic job against Lamar Jackson. I think they played the best defense against Lamar Jackson of anybody outside of the Titans all season long. You got Watt up there who's going to get pressure on anybody. Dupree on the other side, Hayward and Tuitt on the inside, and then even an athlete like Devin Bush at linebacker. They gave Lamar Jackson problems, and even with Duck Hodges, they pretty much won. They outplayed the Ravens in that game. The Ravens ended up winning because of some late game kind of heroics, but they outplayed them with Duck Hodges at quarterback. And I like to think that even a diminished Ben Roethlisberger is an improvement on Duck Hodges. And all the stuff about the coaching changes, coaching matters in football more than any other sport. And when all things are equal, I'm going to lean towards a team with the better coach. And the Steelers obviously have the better coach. Maybe Stefanski can grow into something, but we don't know. He's going to be in his first year in a tough situation with a lot of pressure with a quarterback who we once thought was great and now we're unsure about. I think that's a lot of pressure in that division where you really have a bunch of tough teams. We're not sure what the Bengals are going to be, but that's not going to necessarily be a week off if Burrow turns into what we think he is. But I think if I had to bet something that I cared about, I would bet on Mike Tomlin and that Steelers defense before I would go with Stefanski and what we're unsure about in Cleveland.
What last year reiterated or taught me once again after apparently I'd forgotten is when it comes to coaching, you go with the known quantity over the unknown. Stefanski may turn out to be a great coach. We don't know. But we know Mike Tomlin is a great coach, a future Hall of Famer as a coach. And you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers now, they really are the Patriots light of the AFC. They're the Patriots light. Now, it's Colbert and Tomlin together, as opposed to Belichick doing both jobs. But when the offense takes a little hit, they emphasize the defense. Year to year, oh, they have a problem with the offensive line, but their defense is really good. Then a couple years later, their offensive line is a strength. The defense is not as good. Then they switch it again, right? If they lose some skills position players. But the bottom line is they're able to never have a losing season, which means it's reasonable to expect the baseline for the Pittsburgh Steelers is 8-8. So you tick up a couple games, you got double-digit wins, and that makes you a real threat to whoever the leader in the division is. You got to go with Pittsburgh.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. We'll take your take on the AFC North. Who do you have as the biggest threat to the Ravens? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before I give you my take, Matthew in Virginia, what do you got as your take?
Well, I'm going to try to be objective here because I'm born and raised in Baltimore. But is the main point is if I had to pick a team and just breaking it down to brass tacks, I think the team with the least amount of question marks going into this season is the Baltimore Ravens. I think you can pick apart, you know, whether Ben's going to be 100% back, whether he's going to gel with all of his offensive players. No doubt the Steelers' defense are more than formidable in that division. I mean, I just don't see anybody really. I know you've been big into the Browns, but even with talent that they have, they haven't been able to get the best out of their players. And I think the Ravens and the Steelers have that coaching staff, that organizational, you know, stronghold, and I think that will carry them forward.
I don't disagree with that, actually. You know, I think the Ravens, by the way, when we're talking about the biggest threat, unfortunately, the answer can't be nobody, because I'm not sure anybody is a threat to the Ravens. And you guys hear me talk about proof of concept all the time, and I believe in it so much. But when you talk about proof of concept, what makes it difficult here is I know who Mike Tomlin is as a coach for the Steelers, right? But I don't know what to expect from Ben Roethlisberger. I think it's asking a lot from a quarterback that's coming back from elbow surgery to be able to come out and just be perfect again. And I'm stunned that they did nothing to address the quarterback position to give themselves a better fallback. So I don't have a lot of faith in that. Conversely, it should be pointed out, as much as we want to fall in love with Stefanski, we don't know who Kevin Stefanski is as a head coach. So he takes over the Browns job. We don't really know proof of concept there. I think the Browns have a lot of talent. I think the Steelers have the talent, other than the question mark at quarterback, that they should both be playoff caliber football teams. But this is still the Ravens division. I mean, this is still absolutely Baltimore's division. They made some key additions in the offseason. They got better. And I think we're just consistently going to lose the battle if the conversation is, when is Lamar Jackson not going to be able to do what he does? The answer to that is not anytime soon. I mean, to me, this is the Ravens division, so it becomes all about the rest. Am I high on the Browns? Yeah, absolutely. I think the Browns and the Steelers both have playoff caliber football teams, but we could make very easily a big question mark for each of those teams. Stefanski deserves to be a question mark until we have proof of concept, and so does Ben Zelbo. Deserves to be a question mark until we have proof of concept. So I still think this is the Ravens division. Ultimately, the Chiefs are going to win the AFC to me, but the Ravens aren't going to go down without a fight. Let's get to some Straight Talk Wireless. We'll keep taking your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Straight Talk comes in the form of the Lakers. The Lakers are anxious to get back in the gym. We know, obviously, at this point that California is not allowing that to happen, but they're going out and they're asking the government to make an exception so that they can get back to practice, so that they can get ready to play. What does that say to you guys? At this point, what is your concern on competitive balance? Are you worried about it at all? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What's your take on the Lakers? In the meantime, Stephen A. and Max gave their thoughts on the Lakers and their eagerness to get back in the gym.
Well, the initial thought that comes to my mind is that they're receiving some kind of indication that indeed there is the possibility that there will be an NBA playoffs to close out this season. There will be a conclusion to this season, and it won't be this, barring any unforeseen drastic circumstances that may occur. And that's all I've been hearing. People have been debating whether it's executives, it's coaches, it's players, owners, agents, obviously, have been involved in the process as well. And what you keep hearing is, places like Vegas being taken into consideration, an abundance of hotels, a few hotels rather, rented out. They've got like four different arenas there these guys can play, descend upon that area and do it that way. A play-in tournament for the bottom feeders of each conference to play in, where you've got the top six or seven seeds that would ultimately end up in the playoffs, but you'd have some kind of play-in tournament. I'm not saying anything is etched in stone by any stretch of the imagination, but these are the kind of things that you've heard bantered about. In the end, I think what this comes down to is that, you know, with the summer coming, you have a lot of people who believe that it's a good, that it's possible, rather, not that it's a good idea, but that it's possible to start in, whether it be late June or early July, and have a playoffs that will last approximately 6 weeks to 2 months, and be done by the end of August or the first week of September at the latest. That's what you're hearing, and I think the fact that the Lakers were looking to have some access to their facilities, to have their facilities reopened. I think when you hear the governor of New York State literally talk about phases that are going to be put in place starting May 15th, I think when you see places like Georgia and Florida opening things up, even though it's against the wishes of some local officials, like the mayor of Atlanta is completely opposed to the position of the governor of Georgia. You know, you see those kind of things transpiring, and it may delay things to some degree, but I think ultimately what it comes down to is that the Lakers, like a lot of other teams, are being given some kind of indication there will be a playoffs. It will take place this summer, and an NBA champion will be crowned.
It tells me that the Lakers are taking the right approach. They want to be ready in case. They want to be ready to go right then, and they're trying to win a championship. All those are good things. Everyone should be preparing their best to get back to business in whatever form that takes, right? That's great. My read on the situation, though, Stephen A., is actually that it's possible for the NBA to play games if. It's possible if. I'll complete that thought in a second. I don't think we're going to see football of any kind, college or pro, this year. I don't think we're going to see baseball. Number one, because there are so many more people involved that in the absence of a vaccine, testing would have to become so widely available that it wouldn't be a matter of life and death for others who really need to get these tests in order to open up the NFL or Major League Baseball, which, you know, you need thousands and thousands of tests to get that done. There's so many players and personnel on every team. Also, we're used to seeing those sports in front of large crowds. So in addition to that, it just doesn't feel right when you're watching an empty football stadium. But we've seen basketball played in the gym. Most of us have had that experience, seeing a game even 5-on-5 or more played in an empty gym, and it doesn't feel so abnormal. Also, there are far fewer people involved in basketball, both on the court and in terms of personnel, and it would be possible, I think, in the absence of a vaccine, that testing is widely available enough that to get some tests enough for the NBA to have games is not unthinkable. But they could do it if, remember I said if, to finish that clause, they could play it if they're prepared to stop and start the season on a moment's notice and to play it in fits and starts until the end. And they're going to have to chop some games off, probably the regular season and maybe the playoffs. And the league, unlike boxing or golf or tennis, the league could enforce, theoretically, a strict kind of quarantining practice enforced by the league. So if there was buy-in with the players, like, yep, we're willing to be away from our families for months and months, we're willing to start and stop on a dime, and the NBA could get all that together, play without fans and everything, I think it's possible that the NBA could actually complete this thing. I don't think that's possible for Major League Baseball. I think it's unlikely for Major League Baseball, the NFL, college football. But it's possible for the NBA. But everyone has to take the approach of the Lakers. Let's get ready to start as soon as possible.
First Take, your take on ESPN News. That was some straight talk. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Only at Walmart. And look, I've said it oftentimes. I'll say it again. There are two different portions of a plan, and that's what everybody's trying to figure out right now is a plan. Portion one is essentially putting a plan in place. Portion two is executing that plan. I have no problem with every sports league, everybody across the country sitting down and saying daily, hourly, I don't care. The information changes so constantly, I have no problem with everybody sitting back and saying, okay, what is our plan? And it's changed because we have new information today. I have no problem with the Lakers pushing forward, wanting to get into the gym, because if they believe that there's some chance they're going to come back into the gym and have to play, obviously they want to be as prepared as possible. Preparation is step one for this. But we can acknowledge also at the same time that no matter how much you prepare, no matter how many plans you have, no matter how much you think you've got the right scenario in front of you, it's going to take execution of that plan, which will take help from municipalities. That's part of even the NCAA ruling today. We talked about the NCAA's proposal to come out and allow name and likeness to be something that athletes can profit on outside of their school with third parties, right? But what else did Mark Emmert, president of the NCAA, acknowledge as part of that proposal? He acknowledged that they'll need help from Congress. So we can look at plans all day long and say the Lakers want to get back in the gym. And then we can look across the board and say, well, the NBA is deciding that May 8th is the day that they're going to allow teams to start to get back into gyms. That's cool. That's awesome. That's a great plan. But at the end of it all, it's cute. It's cute at its best because it's not executable. It's not executable unless they have a way that they're going to bring all the players back to one spot and they're going to allow those players in each of their particular municipalities to be able to train. That's the part of it that I just can't wrap my head around. So as much as we're all desperate for it, I'm desperate for it. You think I wouldn't rather sit around and talk about NBA games than the proposal of when the NBA might return? You think as a network we wouldn't just be doing naked cartwheels down the street for the opportunity to have live sports we could bring you and talk to you about? We all want the escapism desperately, right? But what I don't want is everybody to get their hopes up for something that that isn't realistic. Part of this has to be the balancing line and understanding, hey, we've got a great plan in place. That's step one. And I feel confident that the NBA is going to get a great plan in place and that every one of these teams is going to fight to have the best plan in place because they're all in it to win championships. And I don't care if that's the Lakers saying we want to win the NBA championship this year or if that's the Memphis Grizzlies saying we fought like hell to be a playoff team and we want to keep that if we're given the opportunity. All across the board, teams should have plans that are fantastic. I love that. And the league should have a plan that's fantastic. I love that. And they can have all of that all day long and it can adjust every single day. But until across the board, states all across the union decide that they're going to have the same standard, man, I don't see how any of it is actually executed. Tune into the Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Then listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I asked you earlier who the favorites are in the NFC North. Matthew, call him from Ohio, or AFC North, I should say. Matthew from Ohio, who do you have in the AFC North?
Hey, 50, how's it going? I just wanted to say, I think the Cincinnati Bengals can be a threat because we got Joe Burrow, we got A.J. Green coming back, we got Jonah Williams coming back, we got a good young defense. I think we could really make some noise in the division.
Yeah, I mean, if you go from the first overall, I know that we just saw the 49ers go from the first overall pick to the Super Bowl, so I understand the logic on it, and I don't disagree. I think Burrow's great. They're stuck in a very difficult division. I mean, if you look best case scenario for the Bengals and you tell me that best case scenario, they can get a split out of their division, that would be in and of itself already a delight if they could do that. That's why I think it's hard for them in that particular division to turn around and figure out a way that's going to get them into anything bigger than that, you know. And then you look across the rest of their schedule. They got to play the Titans this year. They got to play the Cowboys this year. They're not going to be favored in any of those. They're not going to be favored against the Texans or the Colts. You know, they've got to play the Eagles. So it doesn't get easy for them across the board. I think, unfortunately for the Bengals, they're going to be much better. But I can't see much better making them a threat in the North. I hope I'm wrong. Cincinnati fans deserve it. We'll keep taking your take. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Coming up, Isaiah Thomas had strong comments about the 90s Bulls. You'll hear them next. We'll get your take on it, my take on it. We'll do all that coming up. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. Don't forget, the All In Challenge fundraising initiative continues to offer incredible sports experiences to bid on and to enter to win. And it's all to support organizations providing food to those in need, particularly kids, the elderly, and frontline workers. You're going to want to check out these cool NBA experiences before they close tomorrow. They're closing tomorrow. There's an experience with Joel Embiid that includes courtside tickets to 2 Sixers games and the chance to warm up and rebound with Embiid before a game. Or a trip to Atlanta for a courtside experience with Trae Young that also includes a special edition shoe that only you and Young will have, and you can join Young for his post-game presser. I love all of that. 100% of the money raised will benefit organizations providing food to those in need. So if you want to participate, remember, if you get out there and you see the auction items are really expensive, that's okay. Enter to Win is like a raffle. $10 for 10 tickets. You can get 200 tickets for $100, so you can contribute, you can help, and you can be part of the raffle experience, still have an opportunity and a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Go learn about how these organizations help do it by visiting allinchallenge.com. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're getting your take as we go, and I want your take on the relationship between Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan and the Bulls. I want you guys to chime in on that. 888-729-3776. They continue to have that conversation today. Stephen A. and Max talked about Isaiah and whether he was right to say that Jordan's Bulls could not win against the top teams in the 80s, but that he should not have said it. The question is, should he have said it? Should he have gone on record? Isaiah Thomas, Stephen A. and Max chimed in on that today.
Isaiah Thomas is actually right. He's factually correct. But why say that at this particular moment in time? You have to know, Isaiah Thomas is a brilliant man, highly intelligent. You have to know that stating that, making that statement, immediately feeding off of what transpired in the Last Dance Part 4 docuseries, okay? You know how it's going to be interpreted. It's going to be interpreted as sour grapes. It's going to be interpreted as spilled milk. It's going to be interpreted, with him having a problem with Jordan. Jordan called, you know, his actions in 1991 en route to the first title, BS. He said nobody could convince him that Isaiah Thomas wasn't an a-hole at the time. Isaiah Thomas, if you know anything about him, highly offended about him. You know anything about his friends, the people that he knows, particularly in Chicago, highly offended by it. But Jordan was making a statement about how he felt in 1991. not how he feels now. How he feels now is Isaiah Thomas is the second greatest point guard outside of Magic Johnson in the history of basketball. I have tremendous respect. I spoke to Jordan. This is what he said about Isaiah Thomas. He said, that's my feelings then. I have mad respect for him now. Okay, so it's done. What Isaiah Thomas saying something like this, yeah, you're right. Jordan, the young Jordan, who didn't have any help until Scottie Pippen arrived in 87 and beyond. No, he didn't beat Magic. He didn't beat you. He didn't beat Larry Bird. All of that's true. Most people did it. Okay, Jordan started winning like his eighth or ninth year in the league. That happens. In the end, though, when you say something like this and you take it to this point, Max, what you're saying to people is that you're ultra sensitive to what he had to say. If Jordan said, that's how I feel now, that would be different. If he's talking about what he felt at the time, let it go. We're grown men. Let it go.
Isaiah Thomas is one of my favorite players of all time. I loved Isaiah Thomas when I was a kid.
Mine's too.
But I remember the All-Star game when Dr. J, his last one, dropped 20-something, and Isaiah got the MVP of the All-Star game. I believe that was on the same day that Alexis Arguello knocked out Billy Costello. You could look that up, but as memory serves, I was 8 years old watching it on TV, something like that.
Yes.
Anyway, the point is, yep. Stephen A., love Isaiah. There's a reason they're called the Bad Boy Pistons. And who did he say was the co-captain? Bill Laimbeer. Laimbeer worse than him, but they've both been on this show recently, both not giving Jordan the credit that he deserves. It is so clear that Jordan is the greatest player of all time that when you choose someone else, you're simply making a point or revealing a bias. Let's be very clear about this. You say he's right on the facts? Kind of. Not really. Let me state the facts very plainly. Here are just the facts. Michael Jordan never played with a single other All-Star until Pippen made his first All-Star game, at which point he took Isaiah's Pistons, the defending champions, who would go on to repeat 7 games. Pippen had a migraine in Game 7, so once again, Jordan was without an All-Star. When he was with an All-Star, at least one other, he never didn't win the finals in under 7 games, including against Magic Johnson and the Lakers, who he smoked. He smoked Magic Johnson and the Lakers. He would have destroyed, the Michael Jordan Bulls would have destroyed everything in their path. That goes for the Larry Bird Celtics, the Magic Johnson Lakers, and the Isaiah Thomas Pistons. Smoked them. Michael Jordan eliminated, let me just put some myths to bed right now, eliminated more 60-win teams than any player in the history of basketball in the playoffs. Do you know why they have the reputation? Oh, they didn't get to compete against the Celtics and the Lakers and the Pistons. Though they did. They knocked the Pistons out in a sweep and then knocked the Lakers out in 5 games for their first chip. Well, those teams were old by then. What would they have done in their primes? The reason it doesn't look like they beat great teams when those teams were in their primes is because those other teams didn't have a chance to be great because they ran into the Bulls. The Utah Jazz were going to be champions if it wasn't for the Bulls. This is a 60-win team with three Max. Great players all in their primes. Two top 50 players. They got eliminated twice in under 7 games. The Sonics were a 64-win team. They'd have been considered an all-time great team. But they got eliminated in under 7 games. The Orlando Magic, same thing. 60-win team. Shaq and Penny in their primes. Sweep. Jordan took care of the old-timers. And then the young Bucks, who were on their way up, never had a chance to beat champs because he smoked them. He'd have beaten the Celtics and the Lakers, too.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. These conversations are so difficult because who knows? But I will say this. One thing we do know is that Isaiah and Michael Jordan still live rent-free in each other's heads. I mean, if there's anything that we're learning at this point, there is still such animosity between the two of them. And I said this to somebody yesterday. I find myself missing that version of the NBA. Like, I do find myself missing the version where people are so fired up to play against each other that even years later, they just can't stand it. I mean, there's some level of animosity to that that we saw, and you see it when you watch The Last Dance. You see the fire between these two teams. And when you see that that fire is still raging this many years later, I've been for all of that. I want your take on first on the series overall and on this backlash between Michael Jordan and Isaiah. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ryan in California, what's your take on it?
Hey, my guys, this actually, I called with actually a few takes on my mind, but this thing kind of bubbled up into a major topic. But just insane, Isaiah Thomas, him saying that Michael Jordan is anything else but the greatest player ever. Let's just say Isaiah Thomas was in charge in New York. He was in charge at once upon a time in Toronto. I believe he at one point ran a CBA team. And let's just say he's not a very good talent evaluator, as well as him being from Detroit in that prime rivals 80-90 era. I think that's no surprise that he would say Michael Jordan is anything else. I think it's humble for him to say that the Bulls are also as physical as the Bad Boy Pistons defense. I think everybody knows as good as the Bulls would ultimately become, they didn't compare at that time to the physicality. So I think that's just Isaiah Thomas being humble in that regard. And that's coming from a Bulls fan. In relation to the series, it's amazing. It's going back. And it makes it very clear as to why I'm a Bulls fan today, being in California, here in Lakerland. And I just want to know, can I get to my other takes, guys? Do I have time for that?
No, yeah, go ahead. We'll let you chime in. Just go for it. Hey, what's your next take?
Also, thank you. I'm a Notre Dame fan. I just want to say to Bears fans out there, I'm a Niner fan, by the way, Cole Kmet, safest pick in the draft. You guys are going to love him. He wasn't underutilized, but I think he had first-round pick potential. And this is my major take as a Niner fan. We're talking about the Niners that pursued Tom Brady at one point. It just became, you know, public information not too long ago. I think now Aaron Rodgers, after the Jordan Love being drafted, I think officially he is especially on the clock. I think why not? Why wouldn't the Niners trade Jimmy Garoppolo back to New England for a second-round pick and trade next year's first second-round pick for Aaron Rodgers and approach it that way? Also, Nick Mullins, our backup quarterback, Matt LaFleur, used to be in Shanahan's system. He knows the system. He could actually kind of give somebody in there to play well until the young man Jordan Love is ready, bro. Hey, I appreciate the time. That's my take, man.
Well, so let me go back to the Rodgers one, because a lot of people, I'm going to keep echoing this. We're going to say this till I'm blue in the face. The problem with an Aaron Rodgers trade is the money. And I'm with you. I love the concept of it. But according to overthecap.com, if Aaron Rodgers were traded today, it would result in a dead cap hit for the Packers. Because when you trade, it accelerates. A dead cap hit of $51 million. If they were to trade him after June 1st, it's a dead cap hit of almost $30 million. In fact, if they trade him next year before June 1st, it would be a $31.5 million dead cap hit. So there isn't a salary cap way that really gets them out of it. All the way, if you go all the way up to 2022, it's still going to be a $17 million cap hit, which is not inexpensive. So they have a small window where they could try and cap hit him at some point, but it's 2022. I mean, that's the next time that they can actually turn around and do anything with him salary cap wise. So I love the idea. And I've had a lot of Raiders fans tweet me too. It's like, you offer the farm and do whatever it takes to get Aaron Rodgers. The problem is the money doesn't actually, it doesn't equal out. So you guys have more takes that you want to get in. Let's do this one real quick. Ryan in Ohio, what's your take so far on The Last Dance?
You guys keep talking about, and thanks for having me on. Everybody's talking about Michael and Isaiah. I know they were the two biggest stars. When the Pistons went on their run, it was Rodman that really ignited that whole thing. And then I know the Bulls won after that, but then when they went on their historic run, and you're talking about the greatest teams, you're talking about Michael, Rodman, and Pippen. What about you take Rodman off that team and put him back on the Pistons when they're in their prime? That's the one key thing that nobody's really talking about.
And look, I think you're right about your take on Rodman. And Rodman deserves a ton of respect for this. It's why I've often said that the concept that dream teams didn't exist or that they didn't manufacture great ways. I mean, I'll give Jerry Krause credit for going out and getting somebody that maybe the rest of the league was willing to give up on. But they got one of the best players in the league that turned around and made one of the best teams in the league even better. And that made them even more dynastic. We'll keep taking your take on all of it. Plus, all sporting leagues are trying to come back now. How do the players feel about it? And what effect will that have?
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm Jason Fitz. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you missed the second hour of today's show, go check it out on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, NA member FDIC. All right, a lot of conversation about whether or not the NBA is going to come back right away. What's it mean? What's it mean to you guys? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Aaron Gordon came on First Take today and talked about his perspective on wanting to come back and play.
I come from a perspective of, I don't have kids. I signed a contract. And I don't have older family members in my family. So, my ability to say, yeah, let's risk it, let's go back and play is much, much higher than some other people. Like, I know some of my teammates or family members are like, no, or kids are like, no, we don't want to risk that at all for the sake of my kids' safety. But then there's guys that don't have a contract be like, no, let's get back to playing. You know what I mean? Personally, I love hooping. So I'm itching to get back. Like, I cannot wait to get back on the gym. I think they stated something like around May 8th or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's still up in the air. I'm itching to get back. I know a lot of my teammates are itching to get back. But there are still some guys that's like, let's take the necessary precautions and do this right.
Planning versus execution. I keep saying they should be planning. That doesn't mean it's going to be easily executed. What's your take on a 888-SAY-ESPN? Andrew in South Dakota, what's your take on leagues coming back?
Well, I'm taking kind of a interesting take on this, and I'm more focused about the mental health here. I'm actually a rugby player here in town, and I'm a part of this large group of rugby players on Facebook now that don't have this access to fields or anything for us to get together and play anymore. And honestly, it does take kind of a mental health toll on you being by yourself and not being able to be around this specific sports family. And I don't think that only sticks to the local side of things. I think that goes up to the biggest aspect. Most of these athletes, especially in the NBA and NFL, they got into sports for specific reasons. They're not just physically talented, but it helps them kind of escape everything else in the world mentally. When they're on that field, when they're in practice, they're around their sports family, everything is okay. So now with them not having that opportunity to even practice for most instances, it's sure to take a toll, especially in a time when we've had more athletes coming out about their mental health. And especially in a time when we have America supposedly reopening and all this coming out, we need these athletes to do their job, and there are definitely some things that we can do social distancing-wise, or at least they can, to make sure nothing spreads due to them doing their job. I know money comes into effect when it comes to fans at attendance, but it is their job. We don't need the fans there. We have our TV. That's all we're doing right now, sitting at home, is watching TV.
Well, and Andrew, thanks for your take on it. I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying. Camaraderie and community matter. And, I said it, to be transparent, I said it to the team working on this show earlier today. I lived much of my life on a tour bus, and then I went from a tour bus to an ESPN campus. I've worked most of my adult life around camaraderie and community, and that's how you create the great things, you hope. There's a vibe to it. Isolation is incredibly difficult, especially if you're somebody that's never really had to deal with that in the past. So I understand and appreciate that, but safety for everybody has to be first, and that's the dynamic. The NBA is fighting, the athletes are fighting, and everybody wants to get back to normal. The question is, how will we execute that? Will Cain, coming up next, he'll have more breakdowns of Aaron Rodgers and Dak as he'll be checking it out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. First Take Your Take.